This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Right, we roll into hour number two. Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline, and we have consistently this week at least, and something we would strive to continue to do, have Hall of Famer after Hall of Famer this week on the show. And why not finish the week with yet another Hall of Famer, the great Steve Atwater, who joins us right now, as I mentioned, on the Goodyear Hotline. Steve, how are we doing?
Doing great, gentlemen. How are you today?
Excellent. I want to get your take right out of the gate on something that happened in last night's game, late in the game, that has become not just an issue in the game last night, but an issue throughout the season, and that is the controversy surrounding the taunting calls, the penalties,
taunting.
Yes, that have been levied this year that the league is trying to crack down on players. And what they're saying is, we don't want you face-to-face taunting a player. You can celebrate, just don't stare at your opponent's face or get in someone's face while you're doing it. How do you feel about this as someone that, you know, again, you made a Hall of Fame career over a guy that wasn't shy about, you know, hitting players and obviously a great defensive player? That was a great defensive play, and he was penalized for his celebration of it.
Yeah, you know, I kind of understand it. I think right now, just with the environment we're in, with all the stuff, you know, we've been going through with COVID and, you know, all the tension levels are high. I'm thinking that they may just not want to show that as the norm, you know, getting up in people's faces, let them know, yeah, I just did this to you and, you know, I'm the man. That's the only reason I can see, justification I can see for it, because, you know, when a guy makes a play, it's football, you know, you want to talk a little bit of noise, and I think that adds to the fun part of the game. But I just think it's the environment right now where, you know, they don't want football, which so many people in this country and all around the world watch. They don't want that to, I guess, be the message that, you know, you be up in people's faces, because right now tempers are so super high right now. Mm-hmm. That's my only explanation for it.
Yeah, in other words, society is soft now, and that's what's happening. Right? We're still getting out participation trophies.
Or do we want? Or do we really?
Yeah, everybody gets a damn trophy.
Actually, I think what Steve's trying to say, I kind of like this as a reasoning. I like this. It's as if I'm watching it in a football game. So now, when I have a difference with somebody in an opinion on the street, I'm going to get up all in your face, just like I saw Bart Scott do. Like, and maybe we don't want to set that example, because tensions are high.
We got to stop blaming video games and movies. But I don't know if you heard what Brady said about a month ago, when he was talking about how just the football acumen is so far down, and the fact that we punish defensive players for offensive mistakes. You know, guys are throwing into zones, and guys are sitting there like, yo, I'm in a robber coverage. Like, what the hell you expect me to do? Just let you catch the ball? You got to go to sleep. You used to
have
to pay.
That's exactly what they want, man. They want offense. They don't even like defensive players, I think, now. I don't know why it is. I'm not saying – I think a lot of people do love the defense, but the people that want to see a bunch of points scored – they must have something against defensive players, because it's been getting like that year after year after year where we don't want you to hit this way, don't want you to do this. Now, I do understand the part of it in terms of the safety of the game, but, you know, just calling these penalties when, you know, you got a 5'10 safety hitting a 6'4", 270-pound tight end, and they're just calling a penalty. Like, come on, that makes no sense to
me. That's like me going home and telling my mom I got beat up. And then we go there, and it's a dude that's like 4 inches taller than me. She's like, man, you better get your ass back in the house. What are you talking about? That he kicked your ass? Then you deserve to get your ass kicked. What are you talking about? It's crazy. It's crazy, right? Because it used to be a penalty to play, and the football acumen used to be so much higher. I feel like the game is maybe played faster, but it's not played smarter. Because I look at guys not understanding splits, not understanding formations. They just run see ball, hit ball. And I remember talking to Frank Gore, and he was saying, I'm like, why are you so able to play at like 32, 33, 34 years old? And he was like, man, because these guys don't study. They're just not smart. Are you seeing this like in the high school game and the little league game around? I know, was Harold Lewis was your agent, right?
Yeah, right at the start of my career. And then I think after my third year, I went with Peter Schaefer and Lamont Smith, and then, you know, Peter, he's still my guy right now.
Right. So Hurl was my agent. So we used to talk about you all the time. He loved you, by the way.
And yeah,
if I'm
great
correct,
guy too.
If I'm correct, Jeremy Chin is your nephew or cousin? Cause he,
yep.
Right, so Jeremy, I went to Southern Illinois as well, so I used to talk to Jeremy all the time. And, you know, when you were trying to talk to him, I mean, it's got to be tough to have Steve Atwater as one of your family members. But you have to feel proud about what he's been able to do in the league. What are some of the things and tips that you taught him as far as how to play the position?
Well, to be honest with you, I mean, all of his skills and, you know, everything he's learned, he learned all that himself. You know, we grew up in different cities and, you know, we really didn't get a chance to interact a ton. So, you know, for me, I always tell guys, hey, you know, you put the work in, you deserve the credit, you know, I don't want to take any shine from him, and take any credit for anything he's done because he's put in the work.
What's in the DNA, though?
The thing I stress to him is, you know, just trying to make sure that he takes care of his body. Cause there are a ton of guys that come in the league with high expectations, but because their body doesn't hold up for whatever reason, you know, they're not in the league very long. Mm-hmm. And if you can't be healthy, you know, the career is going to be shortened and you're not going to be able to accomplish all the things you want to accomplish. So yeah, that's more my message to him, more so than me trying to, you know, tell him how to play zone coverage or how to hit and all that good stuff.
Well, you brought up just my next point, right? How to hit, right? Because I thought I had like an iconic hit on Ben Roethlisberger, but he's a quarterback, right? You took the soul of the Nigerian. You took the soul of the Nigerian nightmare. You stepped on the train tracks and hit the train and derailed it. Like, how did that change your career and how did that elevate you? You think, you know, amongst your peers.
Yeah, well, to be honest with you, I mean, when it happened, I didn't know that it would be as it would get as much, you know, highlights and attention as it did, but you know, it's, you know, still 20 years later, I'll have people, you know, ask me about that hit. But yeah, I think it was a big hit at the time. He was a huge guy. He running people over.
Tell back with a neck roll, man. You don't see that.
No. You can't see that nowadays. but you know, the guy who I played with, Dennis Smith, he was my mentor, and you know, I got a chance to play with him for 5-6 years, and you know, just in the meetings, he was just saying, hey, man, nobody else is really hitting him straight up. Most people kind of go for his knees. And he said, we got to hit him straight up. So, I, you know, me, the young guy, I'm like, all right, we'll do that. And it happened. And, you know, I'm fortunate for it. And, you know, me being a man, I understand the other side of it for Christian, you know, because he's a man too, you know. And I never like disrespecting men. You know, it was a great play, but – at the same time, I don't want to be super disrespectful to him. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. For those who are the younger audience who might not know, because Bart described it as hitting the Nigerian nightmare, it's a play that the NFL even recognizes one of the all-time greatest plays. The top 100 plays is when, of course, Steve Atwater hit Christian Okoye and literally stopped him in his tracks. It's a play that
I couldn't have been your teammate. Because if you wouldn't talk trash to him, I would have talked to him. I would have said, Christian, look at me. Who's your daddy?
Hey, trust me, all my teammates, they're talking noise now.
Who's your daddy?
With the Hall of Famer Steve Atwater right now on the Goodyear Hotline, and you are being honored this weekend, right? The Broncos are playing the Raiders, and your Hall of Fame induction is being honored this weekend. You looking forward to that, being there at Mile High?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that, being able to celebrate with the fans here. And fortunately, like our coach from those two Super Bowl victories, Mike Shanahan, he's being honored. He's going into the Ring of Fame and hopefully one day the Hall of Fame. So to be able to share the weekend with him is going to be awesome. And, you know, a lot of the guys are going to come back. And, again, we'll be able to do it in front of our fans and, you know, all the great people within the organization. So it's going to be a great weekend.
Do you keep up with the Broncos? Do you watch them still closely?
Yeah, I work for the Broncos.
Okay. So,
I keep up with everything that's going on.
All right. With that in mind, I mean, their defense has, you know, there was a lot of expectation about them on the defensive side. They've done a great job with the secondary and just building up, you know, they have a ton of corners actually on that team. And then you have Teddy Bridgewater as now the starting quarterback. What do you think of them this year? And do you think Teddy is the guy for the future?
Yeah, I do think Teddy's the guy for the future. I think we got off to a great start. In you know, the last couple of weeks, we played against some really good competition in the Baltimore Ravens and then Pittsburgh Steelers. You know, and I just don't think we played up to our potential the last couple of weeks. It looks like we got out physical, and, you know, that's one thing you don't want to do as a football team is get out physical. You know, one of my things is when you're in the football field, you got to have a whole different mentality than when you're out on the streets. You know, you got to have that bully mentality, and, you know, that's frowned upon in schools. We don't want anybody to get bullied in school. Absolutely, I'm not advocating for that in school. But on the football field, especially as a defense, you want to bully. You want to try and bully your opponent and try to kind of, you know, take the fight out of them by just taking it to them over and over and over again. And, you know, we haven't done that up to this point. I'm hoping we'll get on track and do that against the Raiders. What better team to do it to than the Raiders this weekend?
Yeah, no doubt about it.
You know, when you think about just, you know, reflect a little bit on Mike Shanahan and not just, you know, him as a coach, but also his coaching tree and the style of run game and, you know, his offensive philosophy. Like, what's his legacy going to be when people start reflecting on his impact on the NFL?
Well, hey, we talked about that on our show that we did. I think it's going to be airing tonight. You know, I would say, for one, yeah, that zone running scheme that he brought into the NFL, just another offshoot of the West Coast offense, that's going to be huge. Winning those two back-to-back Super Bowls is huge for him. I think there are, what, six coaches in the NFL that's been able to accomplish that. And then just the number of great coaches who he's kind of had his hands on, who he's mentored or had on his coaching staff, who have gone on to do wonderful things. Of course, his son, Kyle Shanahan, and numerous other coaches, Gary Kubiak, lots of guys. I think that's where, you know, his legacy will be in just the future, because that will continue on for years to come.
You obviously part some great teams there in Denver. Enjoy the weekend, Steve. Enjoy reconnecting, of course, with that organization and celebrating what you have was a great career. And thanks for giving us a few minutes. Awesome insight.
Hey, man, thank you guys so much for having me on. And I love listening to you guys, man. You got great energy, man.
Great. Appreciate it. Thanks so much. Steve Atwater, the great Steve Atwater,
Look at me. Great safety. Look at me.
Yeah.
I'd have capped it now.
It's so funny, too, because I had a feeling you were going to ask about the hit. And I was thinking, as you were saying it, I'm like, I wonder, because it was like 30 years ago.
Yeah.
So how many fans,
millennials, Generation X,
are just wondering, like, what is he talking about? And then I'm like, hey, Google it. But
Christian Okoye was a track star.
Yeah, people need to understand. Like, he's
a Nigerian nightmare. Him and Barry Word were like 240-pound tailbacks, and they had neck rolls on, but he can run past. He's like a 4.443. Like 240-pound, they called him a Nigerian nightmare. Everybody want to talk about Chris Henry.
Derrick Henry. That's the first thing I thought of.
He was Derrick Henry, but 4.3 speed and with a neck roll and shoulder pads that covered every part of your body.
Yeah, and again, the NFL
right
recognizes that hit. Like, think about it, that hit as one of the top 100 hits, top 100 plays. That hit in history. So it was something certainly to hear him talk about, and that actually. Was great. It's Barton Hahn. We're coming to you live above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 is the number. So we'll get to the calls, continue with that as well. But first, Bart, mentioned it early in the show at the beginning, but it was some news before the show began. After last night's game, Thursday Night Football beginning week 6, where the Eagles lose to the Bucs 28-22, the Eagles then make a move. What are you showing me there? Oh, that's Okoye, yeah.
You ain't even supposed to have muscles like that back then.
As a running back? Yeah, no.
No, like, this dude is like 5% body fat, like 6'3". Look at this dude.
Yeah.
Like, I understand if you see an athlete today, because we got modern science, supplements, all this stuff.
But this was like 96? Like, yeah. When was that that hit happened?
It's like 94.
Yeah, that's right. It was something like that. Yeah. Yeah, what a moment that was. Now, can we get to the trade news? So the Eagles, after the game, traded Zach Ertz to the Cardinals. They get a cornerback. I don't know who he is. Tay Gowan. And a 2022 fifth-round pick. That's what the Eagles get. And, of course, the Cardinals get Zach Ertz, adding to what is already I mean, like space. Kyler Murray has a lot of weapons now, and you add a Super Bowl champ and a great tight end, a terrific tight end, who you knew they were having some issues there in Philadelphia.
That's a bigger case than my Lamar Jackson prediction, what I said. Mm. You don't have all that stuff.
What does this – now, before we ask what this means for the Eagles, what does this mean, do you think, for the 5-0 Cardinals? Now, he can't play Sunday, but what does this mean for the Cardinals?
I mean, it's the Cardinals are all in. Listen, they understand. Like they probably.
You look like E.T., by the way, right now. Like you're on Elliot's bike.
Elliot. But what they realize is they can't. They probably won't be able to sign Chandler Jones back. He's disgruntled, so he's not going to get the money that he wants.
Could they end up moving him?
Well, he's going to lose. He's going to leave. I don't think you get rid of one of your best outside pass rushers.
Not while you're 5-0. Yeah.
Right, but this is a signal. Okay, listen, we got to go all in because we won't have Chandler Jones next year. So, like, we got to go all in while we still have
everybody
saying,
in
control. Oh,
you're saying, like, win now.
Yes.
Because
yes.
we might lose some pieces.
We're going to lose our best pass rusher next year, and it's going to be so much harder because they don't have another outside pass rusher like him. They lost Riddick to the Panthers. So, like, hey, let's go all in. You see teams, and you're going to continue to see teams push the chips into the middle because I think all these teams are going to try and get draft capital to try and get some pieces in the draft, and they're going to get rid of these expiring contracts.
All right, let's take James from North Carolina. Go ahead, James.
Yes. Hi, how y'all doing?
Good.
I like y'all's show and stuff.
What do you got?
And I want to talk about the Colts.
Okay.
Everybody keeps saying the Colts is a bad team. I don't think the Colts is a bad team. They just have a new quarterback that's not in the system already, you know?
He's now getting his feet under him. This is Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz knows his offense better than anybody.
Yeah.
This is his system when he was an MVP candidate in Philadelphia. It's not that. It's been that T.Y. Hilton's been injured, and they just haven't been able to finish games.
Right.
And you think about it, he was walking around with two broke ankles for 2 weeks, so he hasn't been healthy. And remember, he had the screw and the surgery in the offseason, so he hasn't been able to really get in the groove and get chemistry. But he knows the offense.
Yeah, it's his offense. I thought the call was about the Arizona Cardinals. I thought that's what I saw on the screen, so he wanted to talk about the Colts instead.
Okay.
All right, let's flip it, though, now. This trade, what does it mean for the Eagles? Is this sort of, you know, all right, we're out?
Yeah, well,
like, are we folding right now?
Well, yeah, I mean, we all knew that Ertz was like an expendable piece, right?
There was a lot of talk about that. They just wanted
the proper deal for him, and you know, they were trying to say, well, what better way to evaluate our young quarterback than having him two good tight ends and two young vertical threat at receiver? When you talk about Rieger and you talk about Devonta Smith,
right?
So, like, I think they got their answer, what they think about the far as the assessment. And I think they realize, hey, this maybe just isn't going to be our year. We want it to be our year, but
are they like, in? So basically what you're saying is, do they believe
are they
in search of a quarterback in the draft?
I don't know about that. I just know that they're in the developmental phase. And they're like, okay, let us just understand what they've been doing, right?
Mm-hmm.
They got three first-round draft picks. They've been moving up and down the draft board because they realized that, remember, this was a team that was so grossly over the salary cap that they had to do a lot of make yep. a lot of moves mm-hmm. to get underneath the salary cap because you had to pay for all the moves and transactions that you had made to win the Super Bowl. They won the Super Bowl and they had to reload, right? And eventually Carson Wentz's contract will come off the books and they're going to have not only draft capital, but they're going to have salary cap space. You know, they lost Brandon Graham, who's, you know, probably been going to go in their ring of honor, you know, made the defining play to win the Super Bowl and stripping Tom Brady. And, you know, he blew his Achilles out. So, like, they're going to have to start over again. And listen, they're still going to try and move their offensive lineman, Dylan. I forget his name, from Washington. He was their first-round draft pick because they got the kid that played rugby or something that's playing out of his mind. It's a Samoan name. I can't say it. I won't even try and butcher it. You know what I mean? So, like, they have another piece. So, if somebody's looking for a good offensive lineman, he's available as well.
Yeah, and it's just, again, where they are now with Jalen Hurts. You know, that's a big question because, you know, obviously, although it's not the class we just had in the draft, you know, you go into the draft, if you feel like you need a quarterback, you need to know pretty soon, and you also know you need to be probably somewhere in the top five. So we'll see where the Eagles go from here. But that, again, the loss last night, 28-22 to the Bucs as we begin week 6. All right, we'll keep the calls rolling. 888-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Of course, the anxiety index for you and your team this weekend. But coming up, Odell Beckham Jr. He channeled a little Keyshawn Johnson. Kinda. But I actually liked what he said. And you will find out what he said after Bart tells you about Zip Recruiter. It'll be on your phone.
Oh, it's on my phone.
Yeah, it's going to be on your phone.
All right.
So you want to find it while I tell everybody, according to Forbes, gyms, stores, and more are set up to go on an epic hiring spree to meet the pent-up demand for all these services. Business reopening means that millions of jobs will need to be filled. So where do they turn to fill these roles fast, Bart Scott?
They turn to ZipRecruiter.
Yes, they do.
Listen, the ZipRecruiter technology is so effective that 4 out of 5 employers that post on ZipRecruiter gets a qualified candidate within the first day. The first day. Mm. You try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/Bart.
Dope.
That's ZipRecruiter.com/BART. Back after this with your calls and audio files, man. You know what time it is.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bart and Han.
Oh?
Play us the anthem. Play it again, on Kingston Ride. With a Cadillac driving. On Kingston Ride.
More like Haters Ball.
And again, yeah.
Yeah.
It's looking like you know, follow my every step.
You know what I mean? You butcher the word so badly.
The big boy.
I know. Bart and Han, Alan Han,
who
Bart
I
Scott.
Think it is it?
We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Hey, Progressive means bundling easy, or it makes it easy and affordable. Get a multi-policy discount by combining your car, home, motorcycle, commercial, auto, and more. All your protection in one place. Bundle and save at progressive.com. We have calls at 888-ESPN, 888-729-3776. All your anxiety of week 6 that we will discuss with you, and also whatever you saw last night in the world of sports that includes the baseball. That includes the hockey. Oh, Bart Scott, your Detroit.
Really? You're going to break? You going to pick that squat, scab in the face of Stevie Y?
I feel like.
That was his get back game.
I feel like it needs to be discussed.
No, let's talk about your Islanders or something like that. They don't want to talk
How
about that.
How dare you? The ice was terrible in Carolina.
Oh, you know, the humidity was so bad.
Meanwhile, before we get to all that stuff, it is time now, Bart Scott, for
audio files.
Bart, what's going on with Odell Beckham Jr. and the Cleveland Browns? Because he is back healthy, and it just feels like he is sort of persona non grata on their offense. Remember there was a time where it was like Baker Mayfield is throwing too much to him?
Yeah.
Now we're saying he doesn't throw to him, and we're wondering why. And Odell was asked about this situation. And I thought, you know, and he's been criticized for saying things and all the stuff that's gone on with him in the past. I thought this is as good an answer as you can give. And it sounded a little bit like Keyshawn Johnson.
I can't sit there and lie like I don't want the ball. Like I tell you, every time I get up here, they don't pay James Harden for defense. You know what I mean? He's a shooter. Like I feel like I'm a shooter, you know. I know that I bring a lot of attention to defenses on the other end, and other people are going to be open. And, you know, you just got to live with that. The ultimate goal is to win the championship, and I feel like I'm in a great situation to do that.
All right, so first, just from the Odell perspective, I love the answer.
Yeah.
I love the tone of it. I love everything he said. It's an intelligent, measured response, and it's great to see that kind of growth in him because, he, you know, there's been also a lot of criticism about him. I love all of that. Mm-hmm. But yet, with that being said, he's also right. He's right. Like, of course, I want the ball. You know, you pay me to catch the ball and score touchdowns, and he's not getting it. Why?
It's weird, man. It's the to me, and it's going to get even worse next week when Jarvis Landry comes back, because Jarvis Landry is practicing again. So now, okay, when Odell is in, and the reason why you thought it could work is because he could get more opportunities because Jarvis Landry isn't there. Now when Jarvis Landry comes back, he's a guy that's a short yard, you know, catch and yak guy. Not that Odell isn't, but Odell has a different element, the ability to go deep. The chemistry with Baker and Jarvis Landry is undeniable. You know, it's always been like that. He gets more targets. He gets more catches. You know, he was keeping up with Odell when Odell was still in New York getting all those catches. You know, he's a high-volume catch guy. But, you know, Baker Mayfield is put on a pass restrictions. He's only throwing the ball maybe 25 times a game, and a lot of those are going to tight ends off play action, easy dump passes, and it's just not a lot there for Odell Beckham. And I don't know if this thing can ever work. And, you know, Odell's coming up to his last year of his deal. I think they should
probably. Well, the last 2 years, yeah, Dan Graziano was saying it's the last 2 years of his deal are not guaranteed. So.
Right, so basically he can be moved or let go without any penalty. So, I mean, I think it may be time to move on for Odell Beckham if you can get something that they need in return, because when Jarvis comes back, they essentially have enough that they need as far as a receiver standpoint.
Here's all you need to know. Odell Beckham Jr. is second on the team in targets, but the guy who's number one is a running back. Kareem Hunt.
Yeah.
He has more targets. And now with 19 targets, Odell only has 9 receptions. Now he's done a lot with those, 124 yards, but it doesn't feel like enough. And Jarvis Landry's only played in 2 games. And that's in 3 games, by the way, for Odell. Not he didn't play in all 5.
Right.
But for Jarvis Landry, he's only played in 2 games. He only has 6 targets. So right. It's not like Jarvis Landry shows up and he's going to get all the targets because he's not getting targets. It's Njoku who's getting a lot of targets at the tight end position. But it's just you have a weapon like him. Do they not trust Baker to throw the ball in these situations? Or maybe he's not good enough to take advantage of the receivers. And that, again, brings us back to the argument or the debate about Baker Mayfield and his value to that team.
Yeah, get the ball out of his hands quickly. Let other people do it. Don't mess it up by dropping back and trying to make plays down the field.
And again, you have a Super Bowl caliber roster. Do you have a Super Bowl caliber quarterback? And
no.
You've said you could go how many? You can go double figures before you stop at a quarterback that would do a better job?
I go like 16 before I get the bigger.
Damn. All right, moving
people
on.
People hate when I do that, by the way.
No,
people
but you're
in
not,
Baltimore
you're not,
hate when I say
but
that.
But you're
too.
Not. You're hearing it from people in Baltimore, I'm hearing. Moving on with Audiophiles, Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio. So this is from last night, and we mentioned this earlier. So the National League Division Series between the Giants and the Dodgers was historic, was epic, and it had really all of that wrapped into Game 5. Drama, everything. Max Scherzer coming in as a closer. And then you have the very final play controversy, of course. It is on a check swing that was called strike 3 by the first base umpire. It is not reviewable, even though everybody that saw it said there's no way that should have been a strike. And Eduardo Perez, he talked about why now everything should be changed. This is why in baseball you have to reconsider this and review every final play.
Baseball is like the purest as far as that, but we've seen technology already come into play. And I think, you know, I actually read yesterday, Carl Ravitch, one of our colleagues here at ESPN, a partner of mine, he covers the Little League World Series. And I love the fact that no matter what, even if it's not a reviewable play for the last out of the game, if there's any discrepancy whatsoever, it becomes reviewable. And I think this one right here should have become reviewable because it's the last play, last out of the game. That way, there's no having to have conversation about this.
It just seems too simple and too easy. I still think Rob Manfred should have some type of a comment or statement about this. I really do, because it's just so obvious. It's not going to change the ending, but at least for baseball, you acknowledge – yeah, it shouldn't have gone that way. At least acknowledge that was a problem. But the only thing you add to this is, if you're going to review every final play of a playoff game, now it shouldn't be regular season, but every review of every playoff game, the final play, if necessary, is reviewable. You're kind of opening it up to, now what about if it's a called strike 3 on a pitch that, you know, we see on TV was outside? Now you're just, now it gets a little too far.
But, I mean, we're talking about the final play. We're talking about the call that determines win or loss, right? And we want to make sure we always get that right. I don't care if it extends play a little bit more, but we want to make sure that play, and every play can be a play that costs you a victory, but not the last play when it punches out and takes all chances from a team to try and win the game. We got to review it.
All right, off the game, though, last night, again, the Dodgers do advance. They move on. They'll play the Braves now in the NLCS. And Mookie Betts, the center of attention is always the star. I mean, he is that guy. And he came over from the Boston Red Sox. So he's been part of the Yankee-Red Sox rivalry. And now Dodgers-Giants, it was reawoken. Reawoken? Is that how you'd say it?
Yeah.
Is it does that sound right
re-awoken,
to you?
Reawoken, and it feels so good.
Reawoken,
and it feels so good.
It felt awkward to say.
Reawoken.
Whatever it was awakened again.
Just go with it.
And he talked about both rivalries that he has experienced. Dodgers-Giants, Yankees-Red Sox.
That Yankees-Red Sox, man, that's me.
Right, that's cool.
That's different.
That's fine. Say it. Yeah, I like it. I like it.
This is definitely different. Maybe the different coast, East Coast people are different than West Coast different. I don't know, but you know, it's definitely a lot of fun to be a part of a rivalry like this. Just being a part of it, being able to contribute in it is just fun.
I'm glad he kept it 100 because it's just like me when I came over to the AFC East, like, oh yeah, the Patriots Jets, man. That Raven Pittsburgh rivalry hits a little bit different. It's a little bit different than that one. So I'm glad he kept it a buck.
Yeah, he did. But you also have to feel that Giants were, you know, giving flowers to the Dodgers, just like the Dodgers were giving flowers to the Giants after this thing. You know how great both teams played hard and respect the opponent. Hell, if you'd ever hear a Yankee or a Red Sox do that,
right?
You think that's going to happen after 0-3, right? You think Pedro was going, oh, they're a great team. No, they're my daddies. Yeah. Is basically the most compliment he would give.
And the end on a check swing, kind of virtual Ooh. Ending. Like, yeah, no.
Oh, it's just like I said. I go back to, you know, we don't have it, but the way Gabe Kapler was just so monotone about it, that kind of ending. I mean, I'm sorry, my spit would have been all over the walls in that media room. Discussing that ending, but we're all different people. All right, that is Audio Files. It is Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. We will continue with your calls at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. And also, the NBA is opening up. Yeah, a new season now. Let's add that to the fire. We're in that part of the year in just a matter of days. Just a couple of days, Bart Scott, and we've got NBA basketball. Here's the question. Should there be concern over the favorite team in the Western Conference? Because they've yet to win.
Well, the
preseason.
You talking?
Yeah, we will discuss that.
The Nuggets?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. You'll hear coming up next. Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus.
Bart and Hahn.
Welcome back, Barton Hahn, ESPN Plus, ESPN Radio. Bart, we have week 6, and we have some matchups this weekend that are really intriguing all across the board, but this one is like the Bart Scott Bowl. Two teams that you've been hating on from the start of the season. Yeah, I said it.
I've been hating or have been critical. I've been doing analysis.
Oh, is that what it's been? This has just been critical analysis?
It's nothing personal about my analysis.
Not at all. Cowboys at Patriots. The Cowboys at 4-1. The Patriots at 2-3. And these are two teams that you have not believed in. You have not built because, like, come on, let's be honest.
I don't believe in the Patriots. I think the
Well, you don't even call him by his name. You call the quarterback Mac and Cheese. You won't even call him Mac Jones.
That's what Cam called him.
Are you Cam? I'm saying you're not even a teammate. He's Mac Jones. But I'm going further. This is, for both teams, a pretty important game. Like, we thought last week might have been the proverbial trap game for the Cowboys against the Giants. It was not. But here at New England, Bill Belichick, facing this great Cowboys offense that has really done well. And then their defense, which everybody's talked about, going up against the rookie quarterback in Mac Jones. Which one of these teams are you going to be apologizing to on Monday?
I'll apologize to Dak. You know, it's all good. I never said that they weren't going to be a good team.
You picked the Giants to win the division.
I did. And then last week, I think the Giants would have won if Saquon would have stayed healthy. It was 10-10. When that injury happened, you lose your two best players, your two most important players, and you already were playing without Galladay. So, listen, I still believe that. That still can be true. But I believe that, you know, now the Patriots are going to be 2-4, still haven't played the Buffalo Bills. Probably, let's just say if they win one of those, then that's 5 losses. You know, they got some more good opponents. They're not making the postseason. And I said that. And listen, every team within this division has had to deal with it, right, except the Patriots.
What
was Miami without Dan Marino? Jets without Namath. And
the search
Buffalo
for the next
Bills
quarterback
without Jim Kelly. You don't just find them. Very few organizations find them that fast. Mac and Cheese, you may think that he's your guy, but then it may be 3-4 years before you realize that he's not, and you're going to be in that on that proverbial wheel.
Right. Yep.
Wheel.
The hamster wheel.
The
right.
Hamster wheel.
Yeah. On the treadmill.
Trying to find the next guy.
On the treadmill. Right. All right. So which is the bigger matchup then? Is it the top five offense in the Cowboys versus the top five defense in Bill Belichick and the Patriots? Or
hold up, they got a top five defense?
Yes, they do.
Oh, that's because they played the Jets and the Patriots in the Houston, Texas.
So okay. Is that the bigger matchup in your mind to watch? Or is it the young quarterback going up against that Dallas defense that has been fantastic with takeaways?
Well, I already know what's going to happen on that offensive side. You know, from the Dallas standpoint, they're going to beat the crap out of them. I'm interested to see how dominant on the other side can the Dallas defense be, being that they get a week off from not having to really play an opponent with a lot of weapons. They don't have the weapons that the other teams they played, even though how the weapons that the Giants had. And they sure don't got the weapons that the Chargers had. So like this defense is going to go against a lesser offensive firepower, especially when you think about who's pulling the trigger.
So it's going to be a low-scoring game on the Patriots side of things you expect. Vegas has this at 3.5 in favor of the Cowboys, the road team.
That's a basically pick 'em. Damn near.
Right. Well, no.
Well, that's three, only three?
Three and a half.
They should get seven.
You think it's easy? Oh, seven. They should be a 7-point favorite on the road in Foxborough.
They damn near lost to the Texans last week, man.
Yes.
The Texans are trying to lose, man.
So you see this as a blowout for the Cowboys. So then Monday you'll be talking positively about Dallas.
Well, not so fast. I won't go that far.
You're not going to go that far?
No.
I think you're going to have to.
I'll be nicer to Dallas than I am to the Patriots.
I'm going to make you say, how about them Cowboys? Well, I didn't want to say it, but you are wearing Knicks colors. You got the blue, the nice indigo blue jeans, the orange hoodie. Why are you doing that on camera?
Oh, I'm on camera.
Yeah, that's inappropriate.
I just like my fabrics, man.
The fabric's beautiful. It was just what you were doing with your hands and wear that was inappropriate.
I'm sorry. I just love my fabrics. And okay.
So I'm mad because I showed you, like we were talking about me, I want to reverse the curse and get the Air Jordan 3s.
Yeah.
Right? That I wore that pretty much was the first major setback of my basketball career, which I wore them in a game. And my head coach told me, do not wear these in a game. And I'm like, these are Jordan 3s, man. I am wearing these in a game. And literally, I high ankle sprain,
what did he say?
Terrible, painful
injury. What did he say when he saw you? Like, when you did it and you came back to the sideline?
He said, I told you, at my face as I'm crying as a 16-year-old on the court, crying and knowing my season's over. And he gave me that I told you so. And I sat at the end of the bench with an ice pack on this huge blown-up ankle.
Did he give you the Fred G. Sanford?
You big dummy.
Yeah. Yeah, I got a lot of big dummies. Trust me, that was dumb, but you know, that wasn't the only dumb thing I ever did as a kid.
You believed in Jeffrey.
But I want to reverse the curse, and I want to get them, so I'm doing the search to find them, and because they're not easy to find for people like me because I don't wear – everywhere I looked, it was like there was a Knicks version of them, the retros, blue and orange.
It may cost you.
And the only available size, the biggest available size I had was a 12. I'm a 14. So I can't find them. I looked everywhere. And the one I found, by the way, was like $600. I'm like, yeah, that's out.
Yeah.
I really can't explain that one to Kathy Coupon back home.
You have to ask yourself.
But I'm going
to
get
how important are they to you?
Well, they are very – if I can reverse the curse, they are. But I'll tell you what, if I wear them to work one day and I bust my ankle – never doing that again.
You probably could call Jordan and he might send you some.
Michael? I don't think he will.
Jeffrey, man, you know people, man. You know people within the basketball world.
I do, but I don't know him that well that I would actually. I've gotten Jordans. Melo was great to me when he was at Nick. It took care of me with a couple of great pairs of Melos. Love those, but I mean, to ask for the threes just to reverse the curse. I mean, it would mean a lot. Anybody that wants to donate them to the show, if you can find them in a size 14, because I'm struggling.
Are these it right here?
The threes. Oh, yeah, that's them.
Is that the color?
That's them. I had the red ones back in the day, but I digress. The Lakers are.
Oh, these aren't. These are the blue ones. I'm sorry.
Those are
250.
Yeah, it's all right. But I don't know if I like the blue.
No, I'm saying.
Do we have an issue with the Lakers being 0-6, or is this preseason? Pay no attention to this. You know, they have not looked good. You know, that's the now they are. They are. What do we call them? The replacement players? No. What? Come on. I did it again. The movie. What's the movie? Stallone and all these old guys.
Oh, the Expendables.
Expendables. I did it again.
I catch your grenade.
It feels like that's what this team is, right? With a lot of the older players.
Yeah, they
Trevor
like
Ariza, Melo on that team, LeBron. Russell Westbrook. But I mean, should there be real concern? Like, can they do this with an older group of guys that, you know, this is the young NBA now. You got to bring it.
I think they feel like they got so many old players that they can play them half the time because they have so much depth.
Yeah.
Right. So like they got guys that, okay, you play this day, you had the next day off. You play this day, you got the next day off. And LeBron and some of the younger guys are the only guys that's gonna play like maybe back to backs and stuff like that. They got a young enough team where they don't care about where they finish in the regular season. They
Andre Drummond. I mean,
Drummond's gone.
No, he's the Sixers and
Dwight
that's back there, right? Drummond went to the Sixers. He's back there. So Zion's going to miss the first 2 weeks of the season. Remember, he had the foot injury. He got the surgery late, and now he's missing training camp. Now he's going to miss the first 2 weeks of the season. Are we worried about Zion because we know whatever it is, he's going to have to play himself back into shape, which is the biggest issue for him all the time. Worried about him.
You already know what time it is, man, with him. I get really concerned about Zion and his inability to kind of stay. And people say when you see him in person, like, no, he's really thin. And I get that. He's thinner than what we used to seeing him on TV, but he's still not at the premium weight, and that's going to be hard to part. But remember how Draymond Green was always a little chubby his first couple of years, then he came back and he really was in like peak
got
professional
right.
shape.
Yeah.
And it's going to take that level.
Somebody is waiting. Yeah, that's the word is somebody's waiting for Zion to get to that point where he just dedicates himself diet wise and all that stuff.
You think he can do some TB12?
Something, but you know, obviously, it's somebody that we're not going to get to see. And then there's the Ben Simmons story. He's not going to play in the preseason finale for the Sixers tonight. Will he play at all for the Sixers, or is he just here so he doesn't get fined? A lot of stuff. Again, the NBA begins for us next week, so we're excited for that. But let's get out of the preseason and continue with your calls. Coming up next, we say goodbye to ESPN Plus for the weekend, but we're back on ESPN Radio in just a few minutes. Bart and Hahn.
Peace.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Bart and Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN Plus. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.